It's funny when you think about how do people in other countries view us as Americans, right?
Well, we're cocky. We all ride on horses, right? And we have white suits as we roll around in Cadillacs.
Right. It's Anna and Raven. Oddly, you know, a lot of my family still lives in Italy.
Sure.
And, you know, we Facebook message and call each other frequently, my cousins, and touch base. So she had said to me, one of my girl cousins, she said that she was looking forward to the Super Bowl next weekend, which struck me by surprise because I didn't realize that people in other countries watch the Super Bowl. Is that dumb?
It's the biggest spectacle in the world. It is actually the most watched television broadcast of all time. I believe 9 out of 10 are the Super Bowl.
But like I love the World Cup, right? Every 4 years I watch the World Cup. But most Americans aren't into it like that.
I was going to say snooze fest for me. I'm sorry.
Exactly. So why would so many foreigners be into our football game? But it turns out that it tops the list of what people in other countries love America for.
Okay. Here's the thing, though. If you do a good list, you got to do the flip side of that coin, too.
Oh, that exists.
Oh, ready? I'm sure it does.
Best things that America has given the world.
Give them to me.
Netflix?
Yeah. Without that, think about what the last year would have looked like.
Disney?
Also pretty good. I'll take that.
Coca-Cola?
Yes, my nectar.
McDonald's?
Oh, of course. I mean, the world over, everybody.
Apple products?
Yeah, that works. We need those. Look at my selfie.
Elvis Presley?
Of course, the hips, man. Look at this. Ding, ding.
Wait a minute, Elvis?
Yes, okay. Elvis, man.
I don't know if I would put that on the list of the best things that we've given the world.
Sexy the globe over. People love that guy.
Star Wars and Tom Hanks.
Also, 100% in agreement.
Also, the rest of the world is pretty pumped about Martin Luther King and the fact that we invented airplanes.
As they should be. Both and both. Both good.
But this is where things get a little bit crazy. According to people in Europe, the problem that America has and the worst things that we've given to the world.
I can't wait for this list.
Okay. Racial inequality.
That's bad.
Calling football soccer.
Listen, you know I'm not a soccer guy, so I'll just say whatever.
Facebook? Like, if you don't like Facebook, get off it. Why are you so mad at it? But the number one thing that people say that is the worst thing America has given to the world.
Yeah.
Number one.
Yes.
Over racial inequality.
I'm listening.
The Kardashian family.
It seems unfair, but when you look at the saturation of the products and the, you know, I don't know, maybe over in Europe, they're looking more at the symbolism, right? So if they were looking at the gaudiness of what America has become or you know, what some people would say is, you know, lesser talents rising to the top of the pile based on things like their sexy nature and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
I think English people especially put a lot of credence into that, and the Kardashians kind of become a symbol of that. Is it fair? Not really. Is it the way I felt at times? Absolutely.
Also on the worst list, Crocs. And I think we can all agree that that's pretty terrible.
No surprises there.
Raven, do you think we're undateable?
I mean, are you talking about us personally as individuals or just in general people who do what we do?
People that do what we do. Do you think we're undateable?
I think there's probably easier relationships to be in than somebody that's in radio. It's an obsessive kind of business in a weird way, and it doesn't have a lot of payoff is what I would say.
It's Anna and Raven.
I don't want to be pessimistic.
I was talking to one of my girlfriends, Michelle. We were catching up, and we were actually talking on the phone.
Sure.
And she was laughing. She's like, oh, I heard your segment this morning talking about how Paul, my husband, mm-hmm. stopped wearing his wedding ring. He's got eczema. It's a long story for another time.
Right.
Anyway, so she goes, you know, you're lucky you got married way before you got your radio show.
Right.
And I go, what do you mean? She's like, well, you know, you're undateable. I go, what are you talking about? She's like, no man in his right mind would date a woman like you knowing that everything in their life is going to be public every single day. Everything they do. And I never thought of it that way.
Well, you know, I mean, look at the other things, too. I mean, your schedule is going to be full. We, you know, we do a lot of stuff on weekends, too. Like, it's busy all the time. In normal times, it's busy all the time.
So I started doing some research because I'm like, who is undateable?
Right. Who else is out there? Who's in worse shape than you? That'll make you feel better.
I'll start this way. The most desirable professions for your love interest, for your spouse.
Okay.
Number one, doctor or nurse. Number one.
You know what? I honestly don't feel like that's the way this year. I feel like that's changed now, but okay.
Number two is a teacher or a professor.
All right.
It's true. Everybody wants the cute teacher. Everybody.
Right, right. Oh, they're changing lives. They're improving people. And they get summers off. What cool would that?
I mean, I guess it's true. And also ranking higher than us is construction workers and farmers. They'd rather date people that smell like cows than date us.
Well, they're in good shape and they usually have a pretty decent tan.
But they're saying people that are undateable include politicians because they're liars.
Number one on my list.
Is it?
Yes.
Marketing or anyone that works in advertising, which I thought was surprising.
Is it because they're also liars or because their phone could ring at any time throughout the day?
I guess both.
Doesn't explain. Okay.
And the third most undesirable, unadatable person is a psychologist, which is funny because one of our producer's wives is a psychologist. And he's like, every time I open my mouth, I feel like she's thinking like beyond what
she's
I'm saying.
Dissecting you.
Yeah,
every
that's
single
true.
Time. There used to be a running joke amongst me and my friends. Never date a psychiatrist major. Never. Ever, 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 ever.
Well, they could figure it out pretty quickly.
Don't do that. I'll offer these. How about a tax worker? This time of year, I mean, they're just going to be busy. You're either going to date somebody that works in taxes because you want them to do your taxes, or you shouldn't be dating that person this time of year right now.
Okay.
Nurse or doctor, I actually put on my list for undateable right now because you can't see them. They're probably isolated in the garage or something.
Oh,
but
that's admirable. That's different.
Oh, okay. So I guess you can make out with a photo of your admirable person because you can't actually touch them. Telemarketer. Nobody wants to say publicly that they're dating the phone salesperson because we all hate those people.
It's true.
We don't even know them.
Yeah.
But that's how we feel, right? Or one of those people, I just had this happen the other day, that's coming around and knocking on your doors, one of those weird salespeople that's always on foot trying to sign you up for one of those home energy evaluations.
Yeah.
Like, where's your car, man? That badge is not real. I mean, you're a step away from the guy who used to walk up and sell you women's magazines door to door.
I had a guy that I met at a bar way back in my single days when I was in college. Mm. And I kid you not. He was in entertainment at first.
Okay.
But then after I talked to him for a little bit, I was always curious what entertainment was.
He turned out to be a dancer.
Clown.
Oh.
He was a clown.
Get out of there.
I can't. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm sure you're very nice.
Dating a mime.
Oh, my God. Imagine he comes out of the shower. He puts his towel on. He's got that nose. No.
No.
No, thank you.
That's all I need to know about 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 you. It's Anna and Raven. All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. You can call or text 1-800-330-9999. If you steal almost $1 million from your job, Raven, and you work at a grocery store and you think you're not going to get caught, that is definitely all I need to know about you.
I mean, how do you even steal $1 million from a grocery store? It's astounding, really.
Yeah, so a grocery store employee in Georgia stole $980,000 in the span of just 2 weeks. Now, he did it by processing a bunch of fake returns. Now, question number one, Raven.
Yeah.
How many boxes of Triscuits do you have to fake return to equal $980,000?
I would imagine more than the store can handle.
Mm-hmm.
On top of it, wasn't he like a new employee, this guy?
Yeah, he was relatively new, got trained. So what did he buy with this $980,000 that he stole over 2 weeks?
Everything.
Mr. Brown used the money that he stole to buy cars, clothing, shoes.
Bought a Camaro.
Nice.
Yep. How would he possibly get away with it?
The amount of money that Mr. Brown took was just excessive in this particular case and obviously drew a large amount of attention to himself. So it wasn't the crime of the century by any means as far as being able to get away with it.
No kidding.
Imagine you're the guy who gets hired at the grocery store, right? And this is nothing against grocery store workers, but you're coming in and it's usually a job they're going to train you for right there.
Yep.
So why on earth would anybody train somebody in a way that would allow them to crack the code and steal nearly $1 million inside of 10 days of their first line of employment? Plus, the guy was taking the bus to get there when he needed the job, and now he's got two cars and a gold chain when he walks in 5 days in. Yeah.
A Camaro.
That's a lot of attention.
Yeezys on his feet.
Can you imagine?
Here's what the bigger question that I had throughout all this. I'm reading this. I go, how much do grocery stores make?
I mean, it's quite a bit.
They were able to catch him rather quickly.
Sure.
But he stole $1 million in 2 weeks. And all I keep thinking is, well, how much do grocery stores make in a week that he was able to make it 2 weeks without people even realizing that hundreds of thousands of almost $1 million was gone.
I guess they're busy at that location. I have no idea
Isn't
what the
crazy?
Intake would be. But I mean, you know, you imagine it's all day long. It's people all day long getting the items they need. The need never goes away. So,
yeah,
I don't know. You know,
that's all I need to know about you.
Maybe that's not that crazy. If you spend an hour and a half on the phone with customer service and only understand like two or three things that they said, that's all I need to know about you. Man, I had quite the experience yesterday with the Ring cameras. You know,
yeah.
Of course, they're very popular nowadays. You got doorbells, you got cameras, you got all this stuff. And I am getting this strange buzzing out of my doorbell chime area. And yesterday I had to have a 10-minute discussion on what is the difference between a chime versus a doorbell. And then I got put on hold like 17 different times. I mean, the guy would ask me one question. I would answer that question. He would put me on hold for 8 minutes, come back, start telling me the answer to that. I would ask a follow-up for clarification. He would put me on hold for another 10 minutes. It was absolutely atrocious. By the way, didn't fix anything.
Well, isn't that what every customer service line is?
Yeah, you're hoping that it will be better than that, you know, at some point. But, I mean, at least understand the product of what it is that you are working the call center for.
I guess. That's all I need to know about you. Raven, do you sleep with your cell phone?
What do you mean?
Like
sleep with it.
Yeah. Like
what?
Sleep with it and like bed with you, I guess.
No, of course not.
65% of people do.
That is weird.
Yeah. A lot of people do.
I guess that's the new falling asleep with the television on, I guess. Mm-hmm. Right. Because you're on your phone to the last minute, even though all the studies tell you it's the last thing you should do. You know, with us, sleep is important because we wake up so early. I put it right on the nightstand.
Yeah. It's Anna and Raven. For like the millionth straight year, nomophobia, which is basically your fear of being without your phone, ranked as the number one thing that people are addicted to. You're addicted to your cell phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. The average person checks their phone, ready for it, 160 times a day.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's control.
Yeah. But I started thinking about it. I think most people, obviously, by this new study, shows that you're addicted to your cell phone. It's always with you. You panic when you don't have it.
Sure, high percentage.
Yeah. But there's other things that you get addicted to that are a little bit more embarrassing. Like, at least that's kind of like wildly accepted.
You brought it up to me. I started thinking about it. And yeah, I've got addictions. And some are petty. Some are bigger. Some are problems. And some are not.
Yeah. Top three things, legal things, I should say, that people are addicted to. Number three is chocolate.
Okay.
Number two is caffeine.
Yeah.
All the time. Give me all the coffee. I don't know if I could function without it.
Feels like everybody in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, when the discovery of coffee was made, it changed the planet, literally.
Yep. Number one, of course, is cell phones, smartphones. So what do you think you're addicted to that's outside of these top three things?
Okay. You ready?
Yeah.
Having the remote. I've got to have the remote. Me and my wife, we sit down and we watch TV, we hang out or whatever, just like everybody does in their house every single day. Who controls the remote? It's me. I've got the remote. When she's got the remote, I'm nervous. I need that remote back. I'm anxious, Anna.
If
all
I was
the time.
A psychiatrist, which, you know, I believe in my head that I am, even though I have no proper schooling for it.
Makes no sense, but okay.
I would say that that's a power issue thing, is that you feel like you're out of control. So one of the things you can control is the control over the remote control.
So maybe my addiction is power.
Maybe.
Would that be that surprising?
No.
I don't think so, right?
Yeah.
McDonald's. I have to have McDonald's. Listen, I don't eat fast food, all right? I'm not allowed anymore. But I have to have it like every, I don't know, 60 to 90 days. Even if I haven't had it, there's like a day that arises and I'm like, today's the day. And I got to have it. My body craves it.
Actually, fast food is on the top 10 list of things that people are
addicted to.
Yeah.
Well, it's got that taste. It's a quick pro quo, right? You pull in the line and bang, instant gratification. You've got that right in your lap.
Yeah.
And you know what else I'm addicted to? The news. But I guess that goes right with the phone. So no matter what is going on, I'm always opening my phone. I always say I don't want to watch the news because it's all bad news. But I've already heard all that news because I've been on my phone every 10 seconds looking at the news.
You know what I'm addicted to?
What's that?
Pita chips. Particularly Stacy's pita chips. Have you ever had Stacy's pita chips?
First, I'm not a big pita chip guy.
I wasn't before. I'm actually not. I don't know what it is. There is something about these chips that even though, like, I enjoy them, they're delicious, but pita chips aren't something that you wake up in the morning, you're like, today I'm going to eat an entire bag of pita chips, but it happens. And now that they sell the massive family size bags that are huge, like, there's enough calories for an entire week in one of those bags. And when I start, it's like something comes over me and I just can't stop. And then I speed up to try to make it better.
Right.
And it just, I just keep eating all the pita chips.
How would speeding up make it better?
Because I just want to hurry up and get it over with because I know that I have to eat all of them.
So then you can get past your shame after that?
It's an addiction. How it works, Raven. What are you addicted to? Legal, of course. 1-800-330-9999. Santa and Raven. New list, same old stuff. Number one on the list that people are addicted to, their smartphones. Always in their hands. Yeah. All the time.
No surprise.
Number two, caffeine. Number three, chocolate. And I get it. Those are typical things that people are addicted to. But what's that wacky thing that you're addicted to? Ricky on our Facebook page, if you're not friends with us yet, just search for Anna and Raven. He wrote, Facebook Marketplace. I don't even want anything, but I'm addicted to scrolling through hundreds of listings of other people's stuff.
It's true that whenever I see like a marketplace update and it's somebody that I know, I have to click on the item. And then I secretly judge them as to why it is that they bought this item in the first place, why it is that they're selling it, and the condition it's in.
What are you addicted to? Hi, it's Ann on Raven.
I'm addicted to anything professional football. It's kind of odd for me, and people usually assume like, oh, it's only 5 months, but you got that 2-3 week break after the Super Bowl. You get coaches being hired. Then you get your little pregame OTAs. It's all year long.
Right. They keep it on the constant cycle now at this point, or at least they try to anyways. You know, it's even better than that. NBA, you want to solve that, nonstop addiction? They've gotten really good at it. But I get it, man.
I mean, you can hear it in his voice. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What are you addicted to?
Oh, my God. I am addicted to the smart popcorn, the caramel, and salty. Yeah, I am really addicted to that. Like, I literally can eat it every day.
I love the sweet and salty thing myself, too. All my ice creams are always caramel salted something. I throw more peanuts in there and put more caramel sauce. It is actually something I'm right up there with you. It's too good.
Yeah, even the sweet and salt are really good.
Yeah. You know what happens here in the building sometimes? Like, we'll get a client will come in and they'll bring, like, chocolate-covered pretzels for the whole building, and then I will steal all the bags
of
chocolate-covered pretzels, and I will eat all of them.
It's disgusting. He comes back to the studio. I'm like, you can't eat all of those.
Oh,
and he's
like,
yes, I can.
Oh,
and
yeah,
then
I
he
can.
Does. It's very strange.
Yes.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What are you addicted to?
Soda. I was laughing when they were reporting that Trump would have 12 cans of Diet Coke a day because I think I might drink more than that.
Yeah, I haven't drank Coca-Cola in like a year because a doctor told me that my heart was going to explode.
Mm-hmm.
The other day, I had a rough day and I went home and most people would pour themselves a glass of something to drink, scotch or something like that. I opened up a 2 liter of Coca-Cola that's been in there since Christmas because nobody drank it and started swigging it. My wife came up, snatched it out of my hand and poured it right down the sink. It looked like one of those movies where a friend walks in to check on you and you've got all the windows blocked and you've been on a binger for like 2 weeks. It was terrible.
Put the Coca-Cola down.
It's like you were right there.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What are you addicted to?
I'm addicted to lip balm. Like, I don't know, just the concept of my lips being dry has always just annoyed me. So I just keep, like, lip balm on me constantly. It's evolved to the point where I feel like I put it on, like, every 2-3 minutes sometimes. It's always with me. I can't even think of the last time I've not applied it in, like, in a 5 to 10 minute intervals. Just
so you're gonna get you're gonna get off this call and you're gonna apply lip balm like after this call.
Yeah, immediately.
What do you think is better, Chapstick or Blistex?
Definitely Blistex.
Really?
No even comparison.
Yeah,
are
but that
serious?
One's like it's medicated. But
let him answer,
okay,
sir.
Sorry,
Blistex or Chapstick?
Oh, Blistex.
That's right.
Sure.
You got to keep the lips moist. I mean, not when you're doing it that often.
Yeah, but it always tastes like medication. You constantly just smell like a
medicine. No, that's the blue tin. There's the pink tin, too. What you don't know about Blistex? They got a lot of different Blistex.
I don't know. I'm Team Chapstick all the way.
Oh, my gosh.
I got a tangerine orange cream one right now that's calling my name. What are you addicted to? 1-800-330-9999. Legal, of course. Top three things, again, number three, chocolate. Number two, caffeine. Number one, reigning the list, is you're addicted to your smartphone.
Well, it doesn't surprise me, right?
Yeah. I'm addicted to Stacy pita chips. I could eat them like nonstop until I plow through an entire bag and then I just hang my head in shame.
I had a problem with Coca-Cola and now it's really about control. I just want the remote control all the time.
Also in the top 10, tanning. People are addicted to tanning, and when you see somebody with a tanning addiction, you know right away.
It does feel good. The first couple times are weird, but then you're like, man, I am in Miami in my head all the time.
1-800-330-9999. Santa and Raven, what are you addicted to?
I'm addicted to close-up toothpaste. I keep it in my car door all the time, and I take a little pinch of it because it freshens up my breath, and I really think it's delicious.
You're
right.
Eating a tube of toothpaste.
Yeah.
All right.
Close
that is
up
an addiction.
Toothpaste.
But it's got to be close up. Got to be close up.
Just that. That's it.
I've never even seen close up toothpaste.
Well, look for it the next time you're at a buffet.
Hi, it's Anna on Raven. What are you addicted to?
Hey, guys. So I'm addicted to Disney. I can't get enough. I sometimes wear the ears out. I always have to have some sort of article, whether it be my socks or a dress or a shirt, earrings. Something has to be Disney on me or I won't leave the house.
Like every day?
Every day.
Do you have kids?
No.
Oh, she's one of them.
Oh, yeah. But you're like, you have your own, how do I say this nicely? You're not
cult?
Alone. You're not alone. There is a lot of people like you out there that are like on the Disney train. Now, I like Disney myself. I'm a fan. But not to the point where I would go to Disney, like just me and my husband on vacation.
By
do you
yourself.
Like to do that? Yeah. Do
right.
you do that?
Solo.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I've been to Disney World probably like 17 times in the last like 5 years.
Oh, the last 5 years. That's a lot.
That's out of control.
Yeah. That's an addiction.
And Ann Raven, what are you addicted to?
Cat videos. I just, I get caught up in this YouTube or TikTok vortex of cats and just go down the rabbit hole and I stand there for hours.
I like it when they play the keyboards. Right? Or they're in a band or something. Yeah. Yeah, those cats be dancing, playing in the band. I love that.
I think that's a real addiction. A lot of people have this. Not me.
It's calming. It's calming, Like, I don't know. Whenever I feel overwhelmed, I'm just like, let me see the precious faces.
Hi, it's Yen on Raven. What are you addicted to?
I get into sunflower seeds.
Sunflower seeds. So where do you spit them?
I really addicted to that relaxed and sit on my couch and watching TV at the end of the day. And it's all over my, my couch.
Oh, my God.
You think of sunflower seeds as healthy because they are good for you. On the other hand, because you have these, just shredded seeds around you at all times, it's like a filthy habit. It's almost like smoking.
Can you imagine her couch? Like you sit on it and it's just crunchy filled with all these sunflower seeds. Like on her floor, it's like a bar filled with like the peanut shells. But it's just sunflower seeds when you walk in.
And Ann Raven, what are you addicted to?
Hey, I'm addicted to gaming, video games.
Yeah, that's a big one. I'm surprised that's not on the list, Anna.
I'm surprised, too. Well, number five is gambling, but I think it's different than video game addiction.
I agree, yeah. I think it's different. Video games, a game comes out, and you could be playing that game for 8 hours that day for day after day after day. Some people, that's how they live.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I look forward to playing it with friends. So it's a very social interaction for me, but I still definitely get the same kind of reward feeling that I think someone with gambling addiction would also get.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
Right.
What are you addicted to? You can head to our Facebook page. Let us know there. If you're not friends with us yet, just search for Anna on Raven. I don't know. I was on board with this study until I read what me and my husband do, and then it made me throw up a whole bunch of red flags, and now I'm discounting the whole thing.
Because now you're not winning at this. Anna likes to be doing the best thing that she could be doing at all times, and if the information told her that you were doing something wrong or it doesn't bode well for your relationship, that's when you go against the grain.
It's Anna and Raven. The way you sit on the couch with your significant other, your husband, your boyfriend, your whoever, says a lot about your relationship. And that's what people that study body language. Now, as a former public speaking teacher, I will tell you that I put a lot of clout in that. That is true. The way you carry yourself, the way you use your body language says a lot about you.
Yeah, of course.
So I'm looking over this and I'm like, huh? Because the way my husband and I sit, when we bought the couch, I had always envisioned a cuddler. You know how, cuddlers,
on
the corner?
Oh, my wife wants one. She's so upset about the fact that it doesn't fit in our room the right way.
Yes. So
one of those
cuddler
corners.
Oh, it almost takes up the whole room,
right.
My cuddler.
Right.
But I was so insistent that I wanted the cuddler because I wanted that to be my spot. And when you see the cuddler, it is so worn down. And that was my warm tushy that did that on the couch.
Okay.
So how we sit on the couch, my husband and I, is I sit in the cuddler, which I desperately wanted for years. And he comes and he cuddles up next to me. But I take the corner.
Okay. So you're in the deep-seated part of it.
According to...
You're the big spoon.
Yep. This study... cuddling in one corner. If you do that, while there is a closeness in this partnership, it also shows that one has more power over the other.
Oh, surprise, surprise.
The one spreading out in the corner is claiming more space, which suggests confidence and dominance. And the partner that is sitting in the middle of the couch more wants to be reassured and is almost clinging on for dear life.
Oh, you hear that, Paul? You're an accessory on the cuddler. You're an accessory on the cuddler, despite the fact that you're 6'2"
right.
And a grown man. You are the accessory on the cuddler.
Former football player.
That's right.
But here we
Anna
go.
Anna is dominating you.
See? I don't like it. I don't like that.
Yeah, it feels accurate, though. Okay.
How do you and your wife, Alicia, sit?
Well, we have a sectional, and so we sit. Each of us has, like, one side of the section. It's a big one, full-size couch nearly on each side, and yet we meet in the middle there with our heads, right?
Okay.
So that's where our pillows are. That's where we're meeting in the middle there.
Okay. So I would choose for you that you are sitting side by side.
Yeah.
Yeah, because technically you are side by side.
We're side by side.
Yeah,
right,
even though you're at the meeting place. And you're touching but not cuddling.
That's right.
That
would be accurate.
So this shows a happy and satisfied couple. They know how to give space and stay in touch. And, you know, they may not be in the first flush of passion, it says.
Sure.
But they are connected and seeking to maintain contact with each other. And couples who sit in this position have confidence in the relationship and a level of trust that allows for a healthy amount of space.
Listen, I'm not going to say that we're touching all the time. We're touching plenty of times. But there's some days, too, where you're like, don't touch me.
Mm.
Don't touch my pillow.
Right.
Get on your side.
But that seems so much nicer than mine.
Well, you know, I mean, nobody's trying to dominate anybody or anything.
1-800-330-9999. How do you sit with your significant other? And then we'll tell you if you're going to make it to Valentine's Day. According to research, body language experts, the way you sit with your significant other on the couch says a lot about your relationship. It's Anna and Raven. Raven, how do you sit with your wife?
We have a large sectional. We both sit on opposite ends, so it's like, you know, we're getting a full couch effect, but our heads meet in the middle at the L.
Oddly, this is like one of the best ones. If you sit like this with your significant other, you're sitting side by side, you're touching but not cuddling. It shows a happy and satisfied couple. You know how to give space. You still stay in touch, though.
I'll take it.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. How do you sit with your significant other?
He is on the shaved part of the sectional. That is his designated spot. And then I just, like, go catty corner to him, and then we cuddle that way. But it's his dedicated spot. The kids aren't allowed to sit there or anything.
He's just like Anna then, basically. He's the anchor. He goes in that spot, and then everything else happens around him.
Right, and in that situation, it's that he is the dominant person, and you're more submissive. And I believe, according to this research, my husband and you are clinging on for dear life, which is not cool at all.
Best of luck. Hope you make it to Valentine's.
So sad. We asked around the office about how they sit with their significant others.
We cuddle in one corner. So typically he's sitting there and I go snuggle up to him and kind of like put my head in his armpit a little bit and just like snuggle up with a blanket.
Okay, so this is considered cuddling in the corner with your legs tucked. Now, here's the thing, and everybody knows that when you put your legs up on the couch, you kind of tuck them underneath you. This position shows that one person is more dominant than the other. The person who has their legs tucked is seeking comfort from the other person. So that means that the person that doesn't have their legs tucked is the dominant one, and the tucker is the submissive one.
I would say whoever is sniffing a head full of armpit is the submissive one.
Right. And
that
also
is the one seeking comfort.
I wanted to be nice when I said it, but it also says that you're insecure in the relationship.
Oh.
That's what it says.
Okay.
Yeah.
However it makes us comfortable, usually with the dog on our lap or in between us, or I need to get a foot rub. So, you know, I always lay down, put my feet in his lap.
Aha!
Foot in the face.
Yep. When you sit, when one partner's legs are on the other's lap, so you put your feet up on your significant other's feet, legs, or they do the same thing to you, the one who sits with their legs on the partner's lap is the one controlling the relationship. They are demanding attention, and they have the upper hand in the relationship at the moment. But,
well, knowing her, knowing that she's demanding would be not all that surprising.
It also shows that you're in a happy relationship, though. It's like, that's okay. It's not always bad to have one dominant force over the other.
Of course.
I sit on the love seat and he sits on the couch.
So you would think opposite couches would probably be a problem. That's not really true. Most people in long-term relationships actually sit on different couches, and all it does is show that they're comfortable with each other. But it can show that they've become indifferent towards each other after long periods of time.
Ho hum, I'm over here on my love seat.
Yeah. Or you just like your space, you know?
Yeah.
If you want to check out this entire article and see where you fall with your significant other, you can head to our Facebook now. We'll post it. Search Anna and Raven. Ever feel like your teen or tween is speaking a different language? They kind of are. It's Anna and Raven. Slang has changed a lot from when we used to say, booyah.
Drop it like it's hot.
Raven was getting jiggy with it.
That's true. I was at one point.
Yep.
You know, I'm really good with the lingo, I feel like, though. Anna, the thing that I'm really weak on is emojis. I don't know what they're talking about when they do that. But words, I feel like I can knock that out of the park.
Raven, let's cue the game show music and let's play What Are They Saying?
Okay, let's go.
Okay. When they type, I'm dead. In all capitals.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I'm dead is, I'm tired of that was wicked, wicked funny. Wicked funny.
Yes, but nobody says wicked anymore, Raven. Okay. I'll give you that one.
All right, I'll adapt that.
If somebody says flex.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
That means like you're flossing, like you're showing your goods, like you're blinging out,
you're
right?
Showing off. I'll give you that one too.
Well, look at me go. I'm telling you, I speak this language.
Shook. If you're shook, what does that mean?
You're like triggered. You're like freaked out about something. Like you're like surprised.
Yes, I'll give you that.
Look at me go.
All right. Now we're going to start getting into the real deep stuff.
All right. Let me concentrate.
If something is sus, what's sus?
Sus is it's suspect. It's suspect.
Suspicious.
Oh,
yes.
Look at me go.
Wow.
Oh, so proud of myself.
Sit down.
It's like I'm back in the neighborhood right now. I'm back in the neighborhood. Except right. Somebody's like, whose father is this? Who does he belong to?
Right. He's like, somebody's dad got let out again.
Get your dad back in your house.
He's getting jiggy with it. Snatched. Oh.
Snatch is taken, right? You took it.
No.
No?
No, I'm sorry.
What is snatched?
If something is snatched, it's a compliment. It means like, oh, I love those sneakers. They are so snatched. That's the way you like something.
I wouldn't have got that one.
I
that
told
one,
you.
That one is foreign to me. Okay.
Something is cap. What is cap?
That's the end of the story. It's the best.
No.
It is the best.
I'm sorry, Raven.
No, what? What is cap?
If you say, nah, that's cap. That means you're lying or you're joking. That's cap. No. Nah.
I mean, right. Where does that come from?
I don't know. Listen,
that's
I
the
can
thing.
Only
I need
tell
the,
you what
I need
it
the
means.
Root of these things.
I don't have the history of your teenage
comes
slang.
From the Latin capis jutecus. Right, okay.
I don't think that's how it works.
All right, what else?
Well, this one you might get. What,
all right.
If something is low-key, what does that mean?
Low-key means it's like, you know, it's like it's not, you're not trying to bling out or whatever. It's like you keeping it on the low. It's your down low.
It kind of is your down low. That's right. I'll give that to you.
Okay, I'm back.
But what is high key? If you have low key, what is high key?
I'm trying to put it on blast. I want the world to know what's going on here. Look at me go.
Yeah.
I'm back, man.
You're doing pretty good at this.
I am.
But now we're going to get serious.
Oh, gosh.
Because these are the ones that if you're a parent and they show up on your kid's text and you see it, they're kind of red flags.
Okay.
And you should be aware of
can
these
we,
as parents.
Can we just agree that if we were going to an area where we would need slang, though, that I would be our representative, like I'm clearly putting the best foot forward.
Sure.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Now, now. Still game show for the ones that are bad?
No, because these are serious.
Oh, okay.
So
we
got to be
okay.
Serious
all
now. Right. No more game show.
All right. I'm sorry. That's very sad.
If you see CD9 pop up on one of your kids' texts, what does CD9 mean? Code CD9.
Code 9 means popo. It's the police. Is it the police?
Well, it's not really the police. It means I can't talk. My parents are here.
Okay.
So it's kind of like in the old days, and I actually know the answer to this. It's like back in the walkie-talkie days,
right.
CD9 means code 9, and code 9 means my parents are here.
Wow.
Yep.
I didn't know that. Who knew you were a walkie-talkie bad B?
All right, and real quick, if you see LMIRL pop up, what is LMIRL?
Lemurl. I have no idea.
It means let's meet in real life.
Oh, no, that never happens.
No. If you see that one, you take that phone right out of their hand and you ground them. There's a lot of talk about whether Nancy Pelosi's laptop was stolen during the Capitol riots. And the big question was, well, what do you do when your laptop gets stolen? Is there anything you can do?
I think you got to crack the code, Anna's app, right?
Maybe. Santa and Raven. Cybersecurity expert Eric B. Cole. He's the founder of Secure Anchor. You can visit him online at secure-anchor.com. Eric, what do you do in a situation like this when something's so personal that has like all your passwords, your emails? What do you do?
So there's two components. There's a proactive and a reactive. The proactive component is you should never be storing your passwords in plain text or any of that information on your computer. Also, anybody that has any sensitive information should utilize hard drive encryption, and that can easily be purchased from any of the big companies out there. And then the reactive piece, when any device gets stolen or you believe it's compromised, you need to go in and very quickly change all of your passwords, because most people have the passwords auto-saved on their laptop. So if anyone just clicks on a link or opens up a website, it automatically logs them in. So you want to change those passwords as soon as possible.
Eric, let me ask the dumbest of questions. Where do you keep your passwords? Because they tell you not to write this stuff down, but I mean, it's impossible to remember everything you need to remember today.
So the way you do it is you use something you called a password vaulting program, and that requires biometric, and that requires a password in order to be able to log in. And the cool thing about these password vaulting programs, they have what we call a remote kill feature. Let's say my phone gets stolen and somebody has access to that. I can log in to my other device and I can remotely kill the version on that other one. So now it's gone off the stolen device, but I still have access to it. So it requires a little bit of strategy, but when I'm describing it, it sounds more complicated than it really is. It's a pretty simple technique to just install an app and set it up.
I mean, it sounds like if somebody steals my stuff and I know it, I can press a button on some other phone or device and then make them explode. Am I getting that right? Is that right or no?
Your description sounds a lot cooler than mine, so I need to hire you to write copy for
okay.
me. But yes, you're spot on.
Okay.
That has a lot to do with your laptops, but is it the same with your phone? Because I think your phone is probably your most personal thing that you own because it's constantly in your hand. Is it the same kind of rules apply?
It's the same exact rules. Both devices work very similar, but it's not just if somebody actually steals your laptop, but has access to it. So if you leave your laptop, even in hotel rooms in certain countries, or just at a bar at an airport or places like that, if I got access to a computer for 20 seconds, I could insert a USB stick and put code on that. So my bigger concern with the Capitol is not the laptops that were actually stolen, because we know about that. But what about all the devices that they had access to and might have installed malicious code on that nobody's aware of or checking or validating?
Oh, man. I mean, I hadn't even thought about that for a moment. Eric, hoping you can answer one more for me. I've heard iPhones don't get viruses. Mac devices don't get viruses, which sounds like nonsense. On my phone, I swear it's got something going on. How would I know if my iPhone was dirty, and how would I clean it up if it was?
So real quick on that, iPhones, Macs, and other devices absolutely get viruses, but because they have a lower install base, they don't get impacted as much. And in answer to your question, your best bet is to update to the latest version of iOS or re-image the device. It takes about 40, 50 minutes to do. It's not super long, but that's really your best bet, because the problem is these attackers are so clever. When they infect your device and you get in, there's no easy way to be able to detect it. So their best bet is really just re-image and get back to a good, known, clean state.
You can visit Eric B. Cole online at secure-anchor.com. Thank you so much, Eric. We appreciate it.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us, they let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Jacob and Stephanie. Stephanie, can you explain the situation?
Hi, yes. So my dad passed away last year, and his wife, my stepmom, my stepmom still uses my dad's page, my Facebook page, to respond to people on the internet, and she posts things every once in a while, and you know, it's really jarring to see messages from my dad pop up on Facebook. And I want her to like memorialize the page and stop doing it. You know, like we can have it as a tribute, but don't respond to personal stuff off my late father's page. And whenever I bring it up for my husband, he says that I'm overreacting to it. You know, maybe that it's helping like my stepmother grieve or whatever, but I just.
Wait, hold on a second. Let me jump in here. Stephanie, does your stepmother have her own Facebook page?
Yes, she does. She does.
Oh, wow.
Well, I mean, when he was alive, did they often both speak through his? I just want a little bit more clarity.
No.
Oh, well, that's a little bit weird then.
Yeah, right? Jacob, why would you be against your wife having a conversation with her stepmom about this?
I think that it's my mother-in-law's way of just grieving, and I think she needs her time. You know, everyone processes things differently. You know, she was closer to the situation, and my heart goes out to her. I've suggested to my wife, you know, maybe Steph, you need to like remove the alerts or block your dad's page for a bit, and that's your grieving process. I think let the woman do what she's doing. You know, she's reaching out to those that are also grieving. I don't know.
Yeah,
there's
I don't know.
Rule book on this.
I had a friend who passed away, and his sister did this. And the fact is that he and his sister had a strange relationship anyways. I'm not calling it strained. I'm calling it strange. It was strange. She was absent for a long time, and then she came back in, of course, when he passed. When often that type of thing happens, and every time I would see the posts or the messages from that person, I understand what you're saying. It is a bit jarring. We're talking right. about your father.
Yeah.
It's really, it kind of opens up the wound, you know, because like, even though I know he's not here, like whenever I see a post, I don't know.
What we do is see what our audience has to say, and they may agree with you, Jacob. Let your stepmom grieve however it is. And if that is posting through your father's Facebook page, just let her do it and back off. But they may see your side too, Stephanie. It is jarring. And I think people think it's a little bit awkward when they see things like that happening. When you know somebody passed away and all of a sudden they're sharing memes on Facebook. You're like, wait a minute. What?
Yeah.
Not warm and fluffy today, that is for sure. Stephanie lost her father last year, and it's been really bothering her that her stepmother continues to post from his Facebook page, even though she has her own Facebook page. So she finds it so jarring every time, like, she opens up Facebook and there's some kind of post from her dad.
Right.
She wants to tell her stepmom, hey, listen, memorialize Paige. Stop doing this.
Yeah, you know, it's really hard for one adult to tell another adult how to operate, especially to that in-law thing. Like, you don't know what their relationship necessarily was prior to. What I would just say is, you know, fairly safe to assume that both people are hurting here. So who's more right or more wrong?
Well, Jacob, Stephanie's husband, says you need to just keep your mouth shut and let her do her process the way she feels right.
Right.
What do you think? Is he right or does she have a point? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, Couples Court, Anna and Raven. Whose side
Stephanie,
are you on?
I lost parents too last year, and no way. I think that's totally creepy. I think it's creepy.
Yeah, I mean, it is. Like, let's not beat around the bush. It's creepy when you see somebody that's passed away that means so much to you, and they're posting on Facebook.
Right.
Thank you
for the call. But, you know, we're discounting the fact that, of course, it means so much to her. It's her father. But I'm sure it means so much to her stepmother, too. It's her husband.
Stephanie wants to approach her stepmother because her stepmom keeps posting from her deceased father's Facebook page. He passed away last year. She says it's so jarring when she opens up Facebook and she sees posts from her dad.
Jacob says that she needs to stay out of this one for a while, even block the messages or unfollow her stepmom and her late father's page if necessary so that she doesn't see it. Thinks it's part of the stepmom's process as she's grieving here. You know, the stepmom may find comfort when she's logging into their page and making these posts.
Right, but it's still upsetting if you're the daughter. Whose side are you on this morning? 1-800-330-9999. It's Couples Court, Anna and Raven.
I'm on his side. I have plenty of experience in trying to control other people, and nothing good ever comes of it. So I think that she needs to take care of what she needs to do if she's upset by not trying to control her stepmother.
We all have a personal relationship with the people that we lose, right? And then every time you see somebody else speak for them, I don't know, maybe it's just me, Anna, but I think to myself, that's not how my friend would speak. That's been my experience in these situations, is that's not what their belief system really was or their thoughts were. That bothers me when I see that.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
I'm on her side. I understand the wife is grieving, but, you know, as she's grieving, so is his daughter. And I think that she should say something.
I think a conversation is warranted, but you can't put somebody's grief over somebody else's either.
No. And on Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm definitely on her side. I lost my mom last year as well, and losing a parent is so extremely hard. And having those Facebook memories pop up is hard enough, but then to have a post in your parent's name is really just like a knife to the heart.
Yeah.
I think if that stepmom has her own page, she should be using her page and memorialize the dad's page.
I agree with you 100%. I think you're right.
I just think that the stepmother's also having some sort of problem dealing with her grief.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Stephanie, our audience agreed with you. Maybe just having a conversation with your stepmom about it, saying that I feel this is very awkward and it kind of hurts me because I miss him. And when I see things like that, it brings back old memories. Maybe if you phrase it like that, then it'll be okay. And Jacob, you should let her go ahead and with that.
Thank you.
I mean, at the very least, you guys having a conversation about it is probably healthy. This way, she'll know where you stand, you'll know where she stands, and then go from there. Hopefully, you'll get a good result. You might not, but at least, again, now all cards will be on the table.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Okay, if you have a problem too, send an email, couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Hi, it's Yana and Raven. Who's this?
This is Kim.
Kim, you're up. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, Kim.
All right, Kim, we have $1,700 on the line. I'm going to ask you five pop culture questions. Answer them as quickly as you can. I'll bring Raven back in. Ask him the same five questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. Whoever gets the most right wins. If it's a tie, it goes to Raven. But if you beat him, all that cash. You ready?
I'm ready.
Number one, the upcoming film adaptation of Spamalot will be owned by Paramount Pictures after being bought from Fox Studios. What British comedy troupe was behind Spamalot?
Monty Python.
Number two, Snoopy, Charlie Brown, and the Peanuts Gang will return in a new television show titled The Snoopy Show. What is the name of the little yellow bird who's always accompanying Snoopy?
Woodstock.
Number three, a television series based off the book The Great Gatsby is in the works for A&E. Who wrote The Great Gatsby?
Oh, God. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Number four, Halsey announced that she's expecting her first child with her boyfriend. What's Halsey's real name that's an anagram of Halsey?
Ashley.
And number five, Pamela Anderson announced her marriage to bodyguard Dan Hayhurst. What country is Pamela Anderson from?
Canada.
I don't know, Kim. I needed you to get number three. Hold on. Let me bring it in.
I know.
All right. Kim got 4 out of 5.
Pretty impressive. Let's see how I do.
Number one, the upcoming film adaptation of Spamalot will be owned by Paramount Pictures after being bought from Fox Studios.
Okay.
What British comedy troupe was behind Spamalot?
That's Monty Python.
Yes. Number two, Snoopy, Charlie Brown, and the Peanuts Gang will return in a new television show titled The Snoopy Show.
Mm-hmm.
What is the name of the little yellow bird who's always accompanying Snoopy?
Woodstock.
Ugh.
Come on.
Number three, a television series based off the book The Great Gatsby is in the works for A&E. Who wrote The Great Gatsby? Final answer?
I don't know.
F. Scott Fitzgerald.
Okay.
You need both of these to tie.
All right.
Number four.
Mm-hmm.
Singer Halsey announced that she's expecting her first child with her boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
What's Halsey's real first name that's an anagram of Halsey?
Ashley is her name.
My God, am I the only one that didn't know that before I wrote that question?
She's one of my favorite artists.
Number five. Pamela Anderson announced her marriage to her bodyguard, Dan Hayhurst.
Okay.
What country is Pamela Anderson from?
She's from Canada originally.
Oh, gosh, Kim, I just...
look at me. I mean, I missed one today. I'm sorry. I fell a little bit off, but not good enough for the victory for you today. I'm afraid that more money goes in the jackpot for tomorrow, Anna.
I'm sorry, Kim. You guys tied at 4. I will give you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
Thank you. This is Kim, and I can't beat Raven.
My gosh, Kim, I wanted you to know F. Scott Fitzgerald so badly.
When I should have known that.
All right.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl.
Hold on the line. We're going to throw another $100 in the jackpot. $1,800 tomorrow morning. Oh, gosh, that hurts inside.